Good morning. Such a joy to be so excitedly finishing this chapter and this journey that we have together in 1 Peter. For those of you who are here for the first time, don't worry. We will not be lost. In fact, we'll come together as a church. And if you like to hear more of our messages on 1 Peter, you can look up for us on pbc.my. We have our sermons on archive there. Then you can journey with us through. But good news is, the gospel remains the center of the passage. The gospel remains the center of our journey. And as long as we get the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him, in this passage, it has done its job. Threefold reason why we are excited for this Sunday. One is, not only are we finishing 1 Peter, but next week, therefore, we will begin Missions Month. And it's always an exciting month because as we finish understanding ourselves as a church, like what 1 Peter is guiding us to do, what more exciting an act that we can do than being kicked forward to say, okay, now onward to the mission of God. And I look forward to the messages and the encouragement that we will have from our missions and ministry partners in the coming weeks. And I pray that you are equally excited as well. Some of you may ask, why is it that we as a Pantai Baptist Church dedicate a whole month to missions? Well, that is actually part and parcel of our Baptist heritage. The third reason why, therefore, we are excited is because we had celebrated our 65th anniversary last night, and I pray that we have that same spirit too. Note this then, therefore, the church that we now have here on the hill of Jalan Pantai is thanks to the faithfulness of missionaries that come before us. And it's in that spirit, because missionaries had come with the good news of Jesus Christ, we are then called to be missionaries, to go forth and make disciples of all nations. And so, by no coincidence, but I believe by divine providence, we are looking now at 1 Peter chapter 5, the last part from verse 5 all the way to 14, and it has great gleanings for us, for us as a church, and how we can then push forward to fulfill the mission of God. Let me read to you then, therefore, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 14. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 14. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to it. If you do not have, you have your Bible app, just take out your phones. We pray that we'll not be tempted to look at other books, not Facebook, not other books, but the good book of Jesus Christ, the Bible. And for those who are online, welcome. Open up the tab and URL and follow through with me as we go through 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 14 together. Let me read this to you in the NIV. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son, Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we praise you for your ancient words. We praise you, O God, for your word that transcends time, that endures greater than gold, better than gold, more precious than any silver, and now inherited to us, O Lord, by your grace through your Holy Spirit. We ask, O Lord, as we heed this final part of 1 Peter, they may stir a new beginning in us just as we celebrate you on this new day, in this new week. We ask, O Lord, that your word speak to us through your Spirit, that we may be bearers of the good news of your Son, Jesus, full of grace and truth. And now, O Lord, may the words of my heart, may the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock, my Savior, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Few comments. I'm going to do verse 12 to 14 first because there are some very nice personal notes that is not part of the main thrust of the conclusion of 1 Peter. But I think this is something that we can also take at the back of our head. Let it percolate because it bears the character and the relationship that we should have as a church, as a family, under the lordship and loving grace of our Father God. Few things. First of all, Silas. Silas is the messenger who had brought the letter from Peter to the church minorities in Asia, to the diaspora throughout. Yeah, it is tradition for the writer to acknowledge and to hold in high esteem the messenger. Yeah, even though he did not write it, he bear it. Sometimes he's even called to read it. And therefore, he represents the message that is being brought here in 1 Peter. I think this is a good reminder for us as we think about our missionaries next month, as we think about our pastors and our elders who are called to be messengers for the Church of Jesus Christ. When the Baptist churches of Malaysia gather together, it is not an annual general meeting, but it's an annual messengers conference. It is a gathering of representatives of the church that bears the good news of Christ, and we hold not, and the messenger, therefore, the pastor and the elder that goes to the convention, he does not bear his own opinions and thoughts. He bears a message of good news and encouragement from the church. So this is where the attitude comes from. And I wonder if for us, what sort of message do we carry with us in our hearts? What good news that we put in ourselves? Although for us, yes, it is true, we have much to be thankful for. As Malaysians, we have on Friday the passing of the anti-hopping law in the Dewan Rakyat and going on to Dewan Negara. Looking forward to it. Today, July 31st, is the traditional day where Malaysia celebrates Hari Pahlawan, where we remember the veterans, those who gave up their lives, that we may have a peaceful and independent Malaysia. We have much to be thankful for. Yesterday, we celebrate the 65th anniversary of our church, and we acknowledge that we had our heights and our depths, our peaks and our problems, our troubles, but also our triumphs. Much to be thankful for. But what is the message that is our radius in going forward through the highs and lows of life? Whether the anti-hopping law will give us everything that we want as a Malaysian, or whether today we remember in good honor the sacrifice of our veterans, whether we are standing up to it, or are we ashamed of it, shy about it, or maybe, unfortunately, like most Malaysians, we're a little bit ignorant about it. How many of you actually knew that today is Hari Pahlawan? We know August 31st, Hari Merdeka, right? We know September 16th, Hari Malaysia, right? These 2 days cannot be done without the sacrifice of those who went before us. Hari Pahlawan. Not Mat Kilau, no. But for every Malaysian. We may have forgotten. Why? Because we forgot our message. What is the message of every Malaysian? That this that this melting pot of cultures can actually live in harmony together. What is the message of Jesus? What is the message of every Christian here? That we may be united in our diversity, in the unity and the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Silas and Peter, this letter can be written to many cultures around Europe, around the Mediterranean, into Africa. And now the good news of Jesus Christ may truly be brought to the ends of the earth, including here in Lot 18, Jalan Pantai 9/7. It may be brought here because the messenger is faithful to the message. Friends, let us be like Silas. Let us be faithful messengers to the message of Jesus. That is why when he is speaking, he is a faithful brother, not because of anything that he has done, but by the message that he is bearing and he is giving faithfully. It's because of Silas, Peter was able to write briefly and to encourage the churches in diaspora about the true grace of God, which is the gospel and his good news and the good news of Jesus. And he calls us, therefore, to stand fast in it. Secondly, who is this she who is in Babylon? Some of the more liberal scholars will want to speculate that, you know, it's talking about Peter's wife. But if you want to take it literally, where is Babylon? Some may say, oh, it's a small town in Egypt. Nope, it's not there. Archaeologists have been looking, not there. Oh, it's the empire. You know the Babylonian Empire, right? But the Babylonian Empire died. It fell to Persia, Persia to Greek, Greek to Rome. So, therefore, cannot be taken literally. What Peter is referring to is, of course, the church, because ecclesia, the gathering, is in feminine form. And so she, the church, who is in Babylon, which is the metaphor of what most Jews would call Rome, because they feel like the days of Babylon, where they were foreigners in their own land, or they were foreigners kicked out of the kingdom of that God has given them to a king, to a kingdom of foreign land, and therefore they are migrants. That is the more faithful interpretation here. So the church who is in Rome, chosen together, so even though that they are apart, we are still united as one. So that includes not just Pantai Baptist Church here in Jalan Pantai, but Emmanuel Baptist Church down the road, Cornerstone Baptist Church in Sunway, KL Baptist Church in Jalan Alor, Community Baptist Church that has spread like mushrooms, there are plants everywhere, and including our Methodist friends, Trinity Methodist Church down the road near EPF Tower. All these bearers of the good news, we are united though we are apart, and we are chosen together by God, that while we are in Babylon, while we are foreigners in a foreign land, we are called to bear that good news of Jesus. So we are chosen to stand together, and we are called to stand together among one another. Sends you her greetings, and so does my son, Mark. Now, is it Peter's actual son? No. We do know that this is John Mark, one of the disciples and one of the scribes of the Gospel of Mark. We know that he was with Silas, who was then also with Peter. And so Mark is therefore with Peter at that time. And that's why, by church tradition, we know that Mark wrote the good news, or wrote the Gospel of Mark, with the guidance and authorship or guidance or scribing from Peter. And so when we see Mark's Gospel, know that it is God who is working through the oration of Peter and the writing of Mark. So if anyone asks, you know, Mark was not the first disciples. How does he know the first account? Well, that's because he was a scribe, faithful to the good news. And he sends his greetings. Thirdly, how do we greet one another with a kiss of love? Anybody know? Maybe a demonstration? No. So in Middle East, they kiss thrice. Okay, they kiss thrice. You know, I've done ministry. I've done some ministry work among Middle Eastern students here in Southeast Asia. And every time when we greet, if they truly, truly are friendly and they truly know that we are brothers, there are three things that we always must do together. One is, if one has not eaten, the other must join the other to eat. No Middle Easterner love to eat alone. They never eat alone. It's weird. They always call a friend, hey, I'm hungry. Can we go eat together? But I've already eaten. Never mind, you just come sit with me. You know, because food is one part of the nourishment. The other nourishment is the fellowship. Okay? Secondly, just like most of Asia, always fight to pay the bill. Always. No matter what. You know, and I've done, you know, I grew up with a Penangite as a dad, Taiping Lang as mom, you know, both generous and conniving at the same time. You know, and so I do my very best to try and tidy. Excuse me, I go to the toilet and I pay the bill, I try and pay the bill. But nope, it turns out that my Middle Eastern friend had already put his card there. And he says, don't you, and he told the guy, don't you dare take any money from this guy. I'm like, huh? So that's the second thing, the generosity of Middle Eastern culture. The third one is that they greet each other with a kiss. Three times. Now, Peter knows this to be a cultural norm, and we tend to do things without thinking, you know. Oh, hi, how are you? Mwah, mwah, mwah. Nice to meet you, right? But now Peter is calling us, hey, remember, when you greet one another sincerely with the kiss of love. Friends, how sincere that we, what attitude and what sort of sincerity are we, for what reason are we here? Are we here because it's Sunday, I should be here, if not somewhere else? I can't think of being anywhere else. Is it your default? Yes, and although it may be good to be your default, sure, but is it your default for a reason? We do not want to be a church where we are so glad where we have three generations represent in this church, as we celebrated last night, but is it because we came here because our parents told us, because our parents told us, because our parents told us? No, we come with a conviction, and we come with the sheer desire to say, you know what, this first day, we celebrate the Lord together. It is the right thing to do because He deserves all praise, and His grace we shall witness to no end. So friends, are we really here because we want to be here? And if we are, then we should be glad that our neighbors are with us as well. So really, honestly, look to your left, look to your right, greet one another, say, it's good to have you here. Good to see you here. Yeah, you can do that now, it's fine. Good to see you here, nice to meet you. Are we really glad that we are here today? Are we really glad that today is a day where we can actually witness the love of God and worship and celebrate together as fellow brothers and sisters in this family? If it is yes, then count your joy complete because we are gathered here as a family. That's why Peter doesn't call Mark his disciple, he calls Mark his son. Because we are family in Christ Jesus. And that is as literal as Peter aims it to be. Which then brings no wonder that in the main part of the passage here, we see now Peter exhorting, teaching the church on how then they should relate to one another. We give thanks because last week we've heard the message for the instructions directly to the elders, and I couldn't think of anyone better to give us that message than, of course, Pastor Isaac, who had been pastored before, who is pastor now, and retired here as a pastor of the church, but continue, as he said in his wedding anniversary a few weeks ago, he says, this is his family. And now for us, as a general congregation, we are called to two things. We are reminded that we are called to be humble and submit ourselves to God, and we are then also called to resist the devil. And it's held both in a weighing scale. If you can picture a weighing scale, we see, okay, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. The aim is not to balance. The aim is actually to pull oneself away from the devil by running towards Christ. There was a report in the United States some time ago in one of the zoos. One of the boys wanted to get closer to the gorillas. And so he stepped on top of the latch above the railing and wanted to say hi to the gorilla. Unfortunately, he slipped over and fell down into the gorilla pit. Now the gorilla didn't know what to do with the kid yet. Yeah? The gorilla did not know what to do with the kid just yet. And so it's been peaceful at first. The zookeeper knows that this gorilla in particular is actually very vicious. And if the gorilla notices and if the kid suddenly makes any noise, he may respond quite violently. And as we may know, gorillas have the potential to kill. They have killing ability. So what happens is that the parents went down. Of course, they are very, very worried. Okay, and there are two ways that you can talk to the kid. You can try and reason the kid out of fear. Tell the five-year-old, say, that gorilla is going to kill you. Be very calm and walk this way. Have you ever tried saying that to a five-year-old? I did. She freaked out. Okay, my daughter, she's 7 now. And even now, if I were to say it to her, she would freak out because she cannot control herself. So what they did, instead of doing that sort of warning, being calm and so on and so forth, they just sent the mother to the chasm and say, boy, come here. And with open arms, she opened up with a smile on her face, and of course the kid saw the mother with great joy, great happiness, got up and ran straight to the arms of the mother. The gorilla didn't notice, they closed the door. Resisting the devil, therefore, is not fighting the devil head on, but is running towards Jesus. How often do we run towards Jesus? How often do we realize that we cannot fight our own anxieties and temptations alone? We need to run to Jesus. And so in verse 5, we who are younger, we submit ourselves to the elders. Why? Because the elders are a few steps ahead. They know where Jesus is, so we follow behind. In the Jewish tradition, when a 12-year-old decides to try and follow the footsteps of a rabbi to go to rabbi school, the blessing that is traditionally given to the boy, literally translated, it means like this: may the dust from the rabbi's shoes cover you from head to toe. May the dust of the rabbi's shoes cover you from head to toe. What does that mean? Does it mean the rabbi is just purposefully kicking dust over his face? No. Basically, the rabbi is walking forward, towards God, towards understanding Him, towards His law, in reading His will, in reading His ways. And therefore, the job of the disciple is to walk along behind the rabbi until until the dust of the rabbi's shoes is covered from head to toe, because he had been faithfully following the rabbi. This then makes sense as to what Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. May we follow in the footsteps of Jesus together. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. I'm going to say something a little bit countercultural today. And I want to say that this is not to discourage you from looking at verse 7 as a verse of hope. You know, when people say, oh, I'm so sad, I'm so tired. Then I read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Yes, it is true. It is a loving relationship. Theologically, it is right. We who are anxious, weary, sad, sorrowful, grieving, depressed, we cast our anxieties on Him because He cares for us. Very true. But verse 7 cannot be read without verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now why am I insisting that these two verses be read together? Number one is, in the Greek verse actually there is actually one whole line. There's no stopping there. One. Number two, okay, so therefore there's the structurally speaking, they're supposed to be read together. Secondly, we cannot understand the care of God without first understanding the mighty hand of God. If we only think of God's care without His might, we don't know the power of which He uses to care for us. So when we recognize that, we will therefore recognize that when God cares for us, He's not like a maid looking after us in the house as a subordinate. He is looking after us as a parent, superior, guarding and guiding us. We would then have a better and healthier relationship with God, even when we suffer. Why? Because if we look to God merely as a handmaid, He's supposed to take away all our pain and sorrow immediately, and yet we still suffer in our lives, it's no wonder we are disappointed. But if we realize that God is our sovereign God, and everything He makes us go through is in accordance to His will, His grace, and His mercy as our Heavenly Father, we will then not be so quick to judge. Because sometimes a parent really needs to let his child go through and overcome obstacles by himself or herself. Okay? It's kind of like how, in old school parenting, we give fair warning, don't climb up the tree too high, otherwise you fall and you may hurt. Will the kid listen? No. Right? But when the kid goes up and finally falls, we then go and help, but of course we don't say, oh, don't worry, it's not your fault, it's the tree's fault. It's not the tree's fault, it's the kid's fault. And I remember my first time falling down, spraining my ankle, my parents taking me to the clinic. The entire time, saying, nah, you see, I told you so. I told you so, do you remember? So the next time when you're climbing, you be careful, and better yet, don't climb trees unless you really have to, lah. Okay? It's a dangerous thing to do. Children, we need to go through some knocks in life. We read during our worship, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, right? And we love that part. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, suffering, and shame, and now sits at the right hand throne of our God. Such a lovely verse. The rest of the verse actually says that God, as a parent, will make us go through trials and tribulations so that we may mature in character in the image of in the will and image that He wants us to be. So we therefore humble ourselves and remember that the chapters that we're going through in our lives today can be both a challenge for us to grow or a moment for us to surrender to God's providing grace. And most of the time, it's both. So what kind of humility then are we looking for? To the culture today, let me just express this to you. Humility is not hiding. Cancel culture today is trying to make us hide the faith and truth that we have in Christ Jesus. The hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the world doesn't like it. Because why? It brings them to shame for the current lifestyle that they're going through now. And so when we tell the good news of Jesus Christ and we therefore must submit our lives in holiness, The world will try and cancel us and say, hey, that's bigoted, that's racist, that's sexist, that's whatever is. But humility is not hiding. Humility is heeding. Not H-I-D-I-N-G, but H-E-E-D-I-N-G, heeding to the will and work of God. So that way, we can stand before culture and say, look, this is not what we would want in our human desires, but this is the will of God He calls us to do as His children. So friends, bear in mind, don't hide, but heed. And as we heed, we point the others towards Jesus. What could that look like? In 2007, American Idol, you guys know that competition, right? American Idol, they find the greatest performers and singers. Usually they're singers, they'll come and sing, right? In 2007, in one of the entries, a girl came up to sing one of the songs we just sung, Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. So she presented that song to the judges for entry. But in her shyness, she changed the first line. Instead of saying, my Jesus, my Savior, she replaced it to, my Shepherd, my Savior. So she sang, my Shepherd, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. She sang the whole thing, okay? To which then, of all people, the judges actually unanimously came together and said, you know what, don't sing it like that. Sing it as it is originally made. Do not replace it for any reason. Change the name back. And when she sang, my Jesus, my Savior, it became a standing ovation and a testimony that people are glad that the name of Jesus is proclaimed. She tried to hide the name of Jesus, but the judges of all people asked her to heed to the original song and sing with joy and pride. So humility is not just, saying, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not great. I'm not perfect. That's true. But in our humility, we then point them towards He who is perfect, He who is gracious, He who is loving. Friends, I pray that in our faith, don't hide. Don't hide the name of Jesus in your heart. Hide behind the name of Jesus as He goes forward. And this part is important. Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. The Apostle Peter is asking us to picture the enemy, the devil, like a lion in the Roman Colosseum. He's seeking to devour. He's going around in circles. He's finding any opportunity to catch you off guard and jump on him and jump on you. And he is actually speaking also with a hint of personal experience. Because we must remember that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he betrayed Jesus 3 times. And he recognizes that is like a lion prouncing on him 3 times. One person asks him, aren't you a disciple of Jesus? No, I don't know him. Yeah, you are. I see you following all the way around. I'm telling you, I don't know him. Yeah, you are the right hand. Weren't you at the dinner table with him? No, I promise, I tell you, I do not know him. The rooster crowed. And as accordance to what Jesus said, the cockroach shall not crow until you deny me 3 times. The lion pounced on him 3 times. So what does he tell us to do? Resist him. How? By standing firm in the faith, just as the other family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So therefore we try and not go about our own wisdom, Don't think that the good news of Jesus needs to be represented as if it is an imperfect good news. No, we let the good news go before us and let Him, let God defend us. Charles Spurgeon speaks of the Lion of Judah. And he speaks the gospel is like a roaring lion. You don't have to fight for Him. You don't have to stand before Him. You just need to open up the cage and let Him go. Friends, as we stand face to princes and principalities who will deny the truth and grace and the holy life that God is calling us to do, as the world is protesting that against us, our main job is to only be faithful to let the Lion of Judah, to let the good news of God, let the good news that the gospel of Jesus Christ go forward, devour that hungry lion, and let Him lead as Lord. How many of us truly believe that Jesus is the Lion of Judah who goes before us and all we have to do is follow Him? If that is true, let me provide you with one challenge. If you have young sons and grandsons who are either at home, you know, in a cot or in a crib, or maybe they're playing, and it's water day for youth ministry today. Maybe they're playing in the obstacle courses, they're having fun. One day, I challenge you. Propose to the boy at the right time. Would you consider full-time ministry? We have our trust in God, right? We say that He goes before us, right? We say that He provides, right? We say that He is the one who is full of grace and mercy, and as we follow Him, He will care for us, and He leads us to the finish line perfectly, right? If He is worth everything worth living for, why aren't we encouraging our sons and daughters into ministry? Now, I'm glad to see many of us here, our sons and daughters are. But some of us, I bet you, when we were younger, we had that little hesitation. It's a tough life. It's suffering. It's vicious. It's a thankless ministry. First of all, yesterday proves, no, it's not thankless. We recognize the work and sacrifice of our elders and pastors, to which we are always thankful and joyful that they are here. But we should also then challenge, son, daughter, if there's anything worth living for, there's nothing worth living for greater than standing for the cause of Christ. Now, of course, let God call them. But as God calls them, don't resist them. Let them go and see where the Lord leads them. Then verse 10 makes sense. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. When is Peter talking about this? When is Peter talking about when referring to this verse? He's referring to the end of all days. We will face the end in one of two ways. Either our lives end on this earth, or this earth ends while we are alive. This is the stated faith and belief of every believer in Jesus Christ. Because Christ says that one day He will come and He will end this world as we know and renew it in Him as sovereign Lord. Either we will die in the grave and arise to see His glory then, or we will see His glory when He comes Himself from the throne of grace. That is our hope. That is our firm assurance. How do we know that He is coming back? Because He had come back before from the dead at the resurrection. So let us therefore in this little while be strong, firm, and steadfast. And we depend on His power both now and forever and ever. I think it's very fitting in remembering and rolling up to next month as we go into missions. Remember that the sufferings of our pastors, our missionaries, our messengers before us made it possible for us to receive the good news of Christ today. And even in this time of either plentiful prosperity or even suffering or sadness, we are still called to the great hope that we have to go and make disciples of all nations. And so next week, and for the next few weeks, my dear brothers and sisters, be encouraged by the missionary messages that we will have in the next month, and challenge yourself. Where is God calling us? Peter wrote this letter to the diaspora, whom God hath called to plant churches all the way to the ends of the earth. He calls us, therefore, today to do the same thing for others. Much like William Carey had done that for India, Hudson Taylor had done that for China. The missionaries that were in China in 1949 were told to get out of the country. Leave. But these American missionaries who spent 10 years learning Hakka, Hokkien, and Teochew, they looked at each other and said, "Hey, I don't want to go back to Tennessee. No one there speaks Hokkien. Where are the Hokkien people going? Oh, they're going south. They're going to the Philippines. They're going to Taiwan. They're going to Thailand. They're going to Singapore. They're going to Malaysia. Why not we follow them?" And that is why the first church, the First Baptist Church, was built in 1953 over in Alosta, Trinity Baptist Church, with the work of the Christians that came from the Teochew area of China, together with the missionaries, and because of their faithful message, we may receive their good news here today. So in our humility, brothers and sisters, let us therefore always point back to the blessed hope that we have been given in Christ Jesus. How then do we start that? We start by first trusting Him. Do we trust Jesus enough, He who gives us eternal life, that we may surrender His life to Him today? And if He were to call us to go and make disciples at the ends of the earth, will we go and do it? I plead with you, let your heart be open, let your minds be open, let your heart be welcoming to the messenger, to the message of Christ, wherever He calls us to go. For those of us who have been faithful in Christ all these years, you who have been on mission trips before, some of the young people even followed Benji in his Hilux up north to visit the villages there. Good for you. I pray that God speaks to you every time. That maybe He's calling you to something more than just a regular 9-to-5 job. And for those who haven't yet, my question to you is, when is your turn? I pray that God challenges us in this month as we celebrate that God has been faithful 65 years, He will be faithful for the next 65. And it will be at the end where we cannot see, but by faith that's where we will go, and one day we will celebrate together where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the end of 1 Peter is the beginning of our mission forward, and I pray that we will go forth together. Let's pray. Gracious God, You who call us, to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before You. Lord, teach us what it really means. That to be humble is not to hide your name, but to heed your name personally and publicly in our lives. Lord, we pray that we will never be ashamed to hide your name, but we will point others to your great name in whom we place all our trust. O God, we praise you in the great mystery that you are a God who truly knows what suffering is. While the idols of this world have never known suffering, you, O God, had walked alongside us before in our suffering. And as you witnessed our sin, you did not condemn us, but you seek to save us on that cross and on that empty tomb. Lord, we praise you because as we call upon that name, even as we suffer a little while, we will endure all things and finally be before your throne of grace and confess that truly you are Lord and worth every day living for. Lord, we pray as a church that we will receive your message and be faithful messengers to the ends of the earth. May we not defend, let us not try and attempt to defend your truth with our own faulty reasoning, O God. We are merely human. Rather, let us stand aside and speak plainly, unabashedly, unashamedly, that you are truly Lord, Savior, and God. And let that be the hope for those who are still deep in their sadness, in their sorrow, and in their state of meaningless living. We pray that as we proclaim your name, as we live out our lives and share the life of Christ to others, they may find new life, being made a new creation in the new hope that you give them in your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we usher and begin the next month in missions, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to make us faithful messengers of your good news, to humbly proclaim him everywhere we go, and finding confidence in him to overcome all matters of evil and all matters of temptation. Lord, remind us that we do not need to face evil head on, but rather we run towards you, then we run away from the devil and you will overcome him. Let us put our trust in you this day and forevermore. The name of Jesus, the matchless and majestic name of Jesus, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.